Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I thank God Almighty for this glorious opportunity to deliver His word. Anytime I have chance to deliver God's word, I deem it a privilege. So I thank God Almighty for this time to deliver His word. I thank Bob and Cham Carver, who first invited me to the United States of America as a missionary in residence for Camp Allendale. I thank Randy and Nancy for also inviting me here this year to serve as a missionary in residence for Camp Allendale. I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to my brother Eric Weiss and his wife Kimberly for hosting me very well and making life very, very easy and comfortable for me to do God's work. May God bless you. I thank Josh and the leadership of Victory Christian Church for inviting me to deliver God's word. I know Josh has been talking on Revelation, and today is the grand finale. So I am speaking on the theme, a revelation to fill the world with God's word. A revelation to fill the world with God's word. And I want us to bow down our heads and pray. Shall we bow down our heads for a word of prayer? Father Almighty, I thank you so much for this opportunity to deliver your word. I pray that you saturate the room with your angels, with the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to understand your word. And not only understanding your word, but help us to apply your word into our lives. Bless every hearer here, in Jesus' name. Amen. The main text for today is Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 27 to 32. Then I'll move on to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. And I'll read verse 42. Then I'll quote Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, which is my favorite, one of my favorite Bible quotations. So shall we all read from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, reading from verse 27 to 32. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as a prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Then I move on to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. "Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah." Then I want to quote Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which is my favorite Bible quotation. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of Man, who loved me and died for me. Friends, ladies and gentlemen, revelation is a sudden, radical, and complete change. So when you talk of revelation, it's sudden, and it is radical, and it is a complete change. Peter and the apostles were arrested for their act of kindness done to a crippled man who was over 40 years. When they prayed and the crippled man walked, they arrested Apostle Peter and John and put them to prison for their act of kindness. Later on, they were released from prison and they were warned not to mention Jesus' name, not to preach about Jesus. But they went ahead and preached about the name, preached about Jesus Christ. Later on in Acts chapter 5, from verse 18, 19, and 20, there were persecution. So the Sadducees were jealous of the apostles because they were gaining, they were becoming famous. So they persecuted the apostles and they arrested them and put them to jail for the second time. But something miraculous, something spectacular took place. While Peter and the apostles were in prison, God sent an angel into the prison room and brought Peter and the apostles out. And when you read Acts chapter 5, verse 20, the angel told Peter and the apostles, go and stand in the temple courts and preach the good news. Preach the full good news. They went ahead and continued to preach the good news. So while they were preaching the good news, the security guards were perplexed. So this time, for the third time, they arrested them. And this time they brought them before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is made up of 23 or 21 elders who form a tribunal and judge the cases of Israel. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, while Peter and the apostles stood in front of the Sanhedrin asked them, we gave you strict warning not to mention Jesus' name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with this name and causing us to be guilty of this man's death. That Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit and who was very bold, declared his famous answer in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, said, we must obey God rather than human beings. We must obey God rather than human beings. That was a famous answer given by Peter and the apostles. Friends, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Christians, the Bible is clear that we should obey authorities. The Bible is absolutely clear that we should obey authorities. The Bible is clear we should obey government authorities. In Romans chapter 13, when you read the first five verses, Romans chapter 13, the first five verses, the Bible says you should obey government authorities. And I want to read that. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servant, agents of wrath, to bring judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So we are compelled as Christians to obey government authorities. We are also, as Christians, we are compelled to obey family authorities. Family authorities. And we have Ephesians chapter 5, when you read from the book of Ephesians chapter 5, from verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord. That is family authority. And we also have Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, which says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is family authority. We also have employment authority. Employment authority. In Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 5 and 6, when you read Ephesians chapter 6, 5 and 6, it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you will obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. So we are compelled to obey, to abide by employment authorities. Not only that, we are also to employed to obey church authorities. We have church authorities from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, from verse 15 to 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, from verse 15 to 16. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and everyone who joins in the work and labor at it. We also can read from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 also makes it clear that we should also obey church authorities. However, the highest authority is God's authority. The highest authority is God's authority. And if any of the laws or requirements or any other authority causes us to contradict or disobey God's law, then we are expected, as Peter said, we must obey God rather than human authority or human beings. Friends, such civil disobedience comes with the understanding that we must be willing to pay the consequences of this action peacefully. And this is a revelation. This is a revelation. Our core mandate as Christians, our assignment as Christians, as believers, who knows the truth, is to spread the good news. That is our core mandate. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible makes it clear that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we will go spread the news in Jerusalem, to Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So that is our core mandate. If we, who understand the value, the importance of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, if we fail to spread the good news, other region will take over. We know that on the cross, Jesus suffered. He cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was spat on the face because of you and I. He was slapped from behind. And one of them said, you claim to be a prophet. Prophesy. Who slapped you? He was beaten without mercy so that we will have salvation. And that is our core mandate. That is our duty. That is our obligation to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Our life on earth is short. Jesus said, "I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back again." No matter how many years you spend on this earth, life is still short compared to eternity. We are going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And a Greek word is a stone, iona, a iona. That means we are going to be with Jesus forever. And that is should be our vision. And whilst we are here, whilst we are alive today, Jesus is looking up to you. He's looking up to me to spread the good news, to tell people. The Bible says we will know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We have to spread the truth so that people will come to know the good news and be set free. That is our core mandate. Friends, it is so disheartening to tell you that the church in Asia Minor, old Turkey, the church, there were seven churches that Paul planted. The church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These seven churches were commended for five things. They were commended for their hard work. They worked very hard for the Lord. They were also commended for their diligence in maintaining their faith. That was a good recommendation. They were commended for resisting falsehood and heresy. These seven churches were commended for enduring persecution. They were commended for standing firm for the sake of Christ's name. For the sake of Christ's name. Ladies and gentlemen, friends, fellow believers, somewhere along the line, their spiritual equilibrium shifted from the spiritual to the flesh. And their devotion and service were no longer motivated by true Christian love. And today, it is sad to hear that the population, the present day Turkey, has a population of 96% Muslims and only 0.02% are Christians. This area had the seven spiritual churches that Jesus commended. But today, it has taken over by the Muslims. Turkey once had the largest Christian auditorium in Europe called Hagia Sophia. That is the highest Christian auditorium in Europe, in Constantinople. This also was taken over by Muslims for 400 years. And today, This is serving as Islamic museum. Yes, it is now serving as Islamic museum. Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, was taken to Turkey by Apostle John. And up to now, his room serves as a tourist center. But the whole of Turkey has taken over by the Muslims. Anything at all can happen. Anything at all can happen in Africa. Anything at all can happen in America. If we want our next generation to continue to serve the Lord, then we have to wake up. What is happening in Turkey is a wake-up call that Christians have to be on our feet and tell people about Jesus Christ to ensure that the next generation will continue to live for Christ. If we fail to do that, other regions will take over. Friends, I agree with Paul 100% when Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And as I'm standing here, that is my vision. The Lord Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that all of us, the Lord Jesus is our Lord. And therefore, we are mandated to obey Jesus Christ. Just as Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. To spread the good news. To rescue those who are perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. That is our core mandate. I am in Africa. Maybe some of you have been to Africa before. I don't know. If you have been to Africa before, this is the map of Africa. And I come from the western part of Africa, a country called Ghana. And my ministry is in Accra. Accra is the capital of Ghana. And that is where God has strategically placed me to serve him in Faith Way Christian Church and Faith Way Christian Academy. In Ghana, many people worship animals, snakes. People worship snakes. People worship trees. People worship idols. And I don't want people to worship snakes. I don't want people to worship idols. I don't want people to worship trees. I want people to worship Jehovah God. Amen. So I have started a revolution. Apart from reaching out the adults, I have started to reach out the children. Because the Bible says, teach up the children the way, train up the children the way they should go. And when they grow, they will not depart from it. I started with 3 children, and today we have more than 350 children. We bring them together and teach them about Jesus. Every Friday, I bring them together and teach them about Jesus Christ. And that is what I'm telling the people, the children who come to the camp. And God is blessing our little effort. All glory goes to God. We are just his servants. These children are hearing the good news every day. And we are trusting that they will be convicted. Some of them become Christians and I baptize them in the ocean. In Ghana, the ocean is very close. And sometimes after baptizing them, I also swim in the ocean. Yeah, God has given us a big swimming pool. So that is what I'm doing. And I want you to be in prayer for me. You can come and visit me. And encourage people. You can pray for me. The Lord is doing great things. Friends, No one likes to eat, stale food or read 20-year-old newspapers. Let us not give to God a love that is stale and cold. We must always ask Jesus to renew our love and serve him and others as we should, with consistent love and devotion to Christ. I want to give you a testimony. One day, a young girl learned how to drive. You guys, when you start driving at the age of 16 or 17 or 18, 16 years, you begin to drive. So she learned how to drive, and the parents bought her a nice saloon car. So the first time that he moved the car on the road, the father sat by her, and she was driving joyfully. Vroom, 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 vroom. Then they got to a place where there was a thick fog, where she could barely see. Then the father who sat by her said, "Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving." Then she was moving, driving slowly, slowly. Then she got to a point where she could not even see. "So, Daddy, I want to pull over. I want to stop because I cannot see my way." Then the father said, keep moving slowly, keep moving slowly, keep moving slowly. So she was moving slowly, driving slowly. And then all of a sudden she came to a big place where they can see big lights, and she could see her way. "So, Daddy, I want to pull over. I want to stop." "So, no, don't stop. The father says, "Stop." I said, "Oh, Daddy, I can't stop. I can now see, so I'll drive." "So, no, you stop. I want to show you something. I want to tell you something, so pull over." So she stopped. I said, "Look behind you." So she looked behind her, and there were bigger trucks, smaller trucks, a lot of trucks that were parked. Because of the thick fog, they could not see their way. And the father told her, "Forever, these people will be there. Forever, these trucks will be there." And because you were able to move on, you see, you have come out from darkness, and now you can see your way. I am here to encourage you that the Lord is by your side. So keep moving in your Christian life. There will be challenges ahead of you, but irrespective of all the challenges that come your way, you have a very big God who is always by your side. And that is the message I teach the children at Camp Allendale. And I'm also encouraging you. I'm encouraging Josh. "Josh, keep moving. Keep moving. The Lord is always by your side." I encourage my brother Eric Weiss. "Keep moving. Keep moving." I encourage everybody. Keep moving in your Christian life. There will be persecution ahead of us, but life is not supposed to be easy. Because of Jesus Christ, we will smile at the storm. Then I ask the children, "How big is God?" And I'm going to throw this question to you now. How big is God? How big is God? Very big, isn't it? Very big God. And I ask them, "Where is God?" Some of the children say, "God is in the sky." God is in our hearts. Some of them say, "Oh, God is everywhere." I say, "Yeah, good job. God is everywhere. He is always by our side. As we are sitting here, God is here. God is in Africa. God is India. He's in Jamaica. He's in Russia, Ukraine. All over the world, we serve an awesome God. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. As I'm preaching the word of God, somebody is also preaching the word of God somewhere, and God is listening to him. You may be in your corner praying, and God will hear you. Somebody will be in his corner in Africa praying, and the same God will hear and answer the prayer. He's an awesome God. So I'm here to encourage you. Keep on with your Christian life. And I also want to end with a song. And that song, the words of the song is, I have a very big God. So let's all do it with your hand. I have a very big God. If you have a very big God, do it with me. Ready, go. I have a very... Good job! We all have a very big God. One more time. I have a very... Who is always by my side? I have a very big God. By my side. I have a very big God. Who is always by my side? I have a very big God. By my side. Sometimes our friends, our dear ones will ignore us. When people ignore you, don't worry, because I have a very big God who is always by my side. So we have something that we fear in this world. You have something that you fear, so I have something that I fear. We all have something that we fear. But do not fear, because I have a very big God who is always by my side. Do you always have plenty of money in your pocket? Sometimes you are broke. But when you don't have money, don't worry, because I have a very big God who is always by my side. And that is the song I'm going to teach you now to end my message. I have a very big God who is always by my side. I have a very big God. I have a very big God who is always by my side. I have a very big God by my side. I have a very big God who is always by my side. I have a very big God by my side. And when I was coming from Africa, Ghana, I brought this improvised instrument. And it is, when you press it, then it changes rhythm. I have a very big God who is always by my side. I have a very big God. I thank you so much for giving me this privilege to meet you and deliver God's word. I want to say I really, really appreciate it. And I'll continue to pray for Victory Christian Church when I go back to Ghana. And I urge all of you to continue to pray for me as well, so that we can reach many people for Christ. Christ for the world. God bless all of you.
Wait a second. Yeah, if you've been encouraged by his message, that God is with you in the midst of whatever your difficulty is, I guarantee you'll be thinking about that song later on this week. You have a very big God.
God. Yeah. He's always by my side. I have a very big God by my side.
Yeah, awesome. You like, is that good? Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm so thankful for him, and our kids are going to be going to Camp Allendale. Okay. Some of our kids have already gone, some of our leaders, but they're going to be spending time with him, and I just want to take some moment right now to pray for them and pray for you, and it's amazing to think we have brothers and sisters in Christ in Ghana, and they worship the same God, and they start worshiping God before we do, because you get up earlier than we do. So, but we're glad you're here.
We are 4 hours ahead of you.
Yes, yeah, 4 hours ahead. So let me pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Richard. I thank you for his life and how he has allowed you to use him to encourage us today. I pray that as we lean into you, who is always by our side, that we would sense your nearness and your presence. I pray that you make Richard's ministry successful, where he reaches many people for the cause of Christ, and that he brings light into dark places. And Father, I thank you for allowing him to bring heaven to earth in so many different ways. And Father, I just pray that you would be with our kids and our students and open up their hearts and their minds and all of the leaders who are preparing to go and sacrifice and serve, that you would just inspire them and challenge them and meet them this week. Father, may we live well for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, we have so many things going on here, and if there's something that you need prayer for specifically, we have a Next Steps room. It's out the door and to the left. We'd love to have a conversation with you there. If you're watching online, we'd love you to text NEXT to 317-576-2288. Remember, here at Victor, we don't just go to church. We are the church everywhere we go. So have a great week.